I can't believe how early we are. It's not even 10 o'clock yet, and we're starting here. This is great. Welcome, everybody. This is indeed a very exciting Sunday for Pacific Community Church. We need to mark the moment together. This is just huge. I don't know if I've ever been in a service where over 20 people have been baptized. And I've been involved in some big churches, but 22 people for a church of our size is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And yeah. We know that so many of you have come to support family and friends. Some of you have traveled. Some have come from Vancouver Island. Others have come from other distances to be with family and friends that are getting baptized. And you're adding your support and cheering them on. And we're so glad that you're with us. Please relax. Enjoy the service. It's going to be a little bit of a different service. Nothing like we've had before. There's not going to be a sermon, so just know that when we're getting a little late and you're thinking, oh no, Bueller's got another 40-minute sermon, no. Bueller's not preaching today. The sermon is going to be preached by these 22 people who are all giving a little wee testimony before we go out to the beach and do the baptism. So let's invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is already here, to permeate everything that is said and done here today. Let's pray for those who are about to give their testimonies. They're all pretty nervous. Let's pray that God would calm their fears. And let's all stand together and invite God to walk us through this exciting service. Loving Father in heaven, our hearts are so filled with joy and excitement today. We've been looking forward to this day for a long time, and it's now here. And we lift up your holy name. We hallow your name. There is no one like you. You are the reason that we are here celebrating. We celebrate what you have done in saving these 22 baptismal candidates. We thank you for every life, every family that supports this life, and every unique story of your grace in their lives. And Holy Spirit, we now as a church invite you to come upon us, to come upon those that are getting baptized, to calm every heart. And we pray that you would glorify Jesus in all of our lives. We want to mark this moment today as a church. This is a huge day for us, and all because of your wonderful grace in our lives. Now we turn our hearts heavenward. We reenact the story of you redeeming us through song and through baptism and through the table. Oh God, would you minister to every single life that is here? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So excited to be with you this morning. I don't remember a Sunday at PCC with this much anticipation. I just want to welcome up some of my friends now who are about to be baptized later. I'd like to welcome up Corey Cudmore, Jonathan Dick, Courtney Petrunia, Charnel Petrunia, Alexa Unwin, Adam Zonneveld, and my darling wife, Amanda Smith. So you guys can just line up right here. I'll explain a little of what we're going to do while they come up. We've asked that each one of our brothers and sisters being baptized today would give a short kind of two-minute testimony. It's not that they're too scared, it's just that we're short on time. So because we're short on time as well, I would ask that any applause we just save to the end of this group. My group, we're going to sing a few more songs together, and then Pastor Jim's going to have his group come up, and then Pastor Brian's going to have his group come up. So, John, introduce yourself. If all you guys could say your name right at the start of your testimony, and then fire away, and we'll ask you to hold the microphone. So, John, over to you.
Okay. Hi, my name's John. Last summer, when I went to my brother's in Winnipeg, I went to help my uncle in a Bible camp for street kids. During the first night of camp, while the worship, when we were worshiping, an awesome power washed through me, and I just fell to my knees, crying and praying, recommitting my life to Jesus. Through everything I've been learning from Brian and David, I have realized that I not only want to be baptized, but I need to be baptized, but I want to be baptized and want to follow Jesus.
Hi, my name is Alexa Anwin. Ever since I was a child, I knew Jesus, and I let him into my heart at an early age. I grew up in a very strong Christian home and was baptized a Catholic. I started coming to church with Charnel, and I can now feel my relationship with Jesus grow every day. All the support from my family and friends has encouraged me to make this step to be baptized. I feel so privileged to be baptized today with my friend and her sister. I felt God's presence lately guiding me, and I know in my heart this is the right thing to do. I'm excited to take this step with God and to begin a new life.
Hi, my name is Courtney Petrunia. I've grown up in a Christian home, and I accepted Jesus into my heart at the age of 6 or 7. So recently, I've made the decision to reaffirm my faith. I've realized as I'm getting older that there are many challenges and temptations in life, but I'm really thankful that I have been brought up to trust in God and lean on Him when life gets hard. I've decided to get baptized because this past year, I've been challenged and encouraged to grow spiritually. I believe in Jesus as my Savior, and I know it's important to be baptized, so I'm happy to get to do it today with my sister and Alexa.
Hi, my name is Charnel Petrunia. I grew up in a Christian home and accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 7 years old. I have been supported with Christian values by my parents, and the encouragement I have received to live for God has given me the desire to make their faith my own. As a teenager, there have been many spiritual battles and challenges in my life, and each day presents a choice, but I'm so glad that I have my faith in God to get me through. I'm thankful for such a great friend like Alexa, who's also been a support to me spiritually. As a step of obedience to God, I am ready to walk with Him and allow to direct my steps through the rest of my life. I'm so excited to get baptized today with my sister Courtney and my friend Alexa, and I'm ready to trust in God completely from this day forward.
Hi, my name's Corey, and I picked out a Bible verse for this, Galatians 4:5. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It may sound like I just picked this verse because I'm a teenage boy, but it really means something to me. It says that the outward acts mean nothing without a heart that's committed to Him and that's not loving others. That's why I'm getting baptized. I feel I'm being obedient to God's call on my heart and that I'm expressing my faith.
Hi, my name is Adam Zonneveld, and when I was 12, my family went through a pretty rough time. But it was this time when God really revealed Himself to me. He comforted me and He helped me, and He made good out of a terrible situation. He did this by bringing me to realize that He was there and I really needed Him. I'm getting baptized today because Jesus did it as an example for us to do the same. Jesus died and rose from the dead so that I could be forgiven of my sins. I'm getting baptized because I'm a follower of Christ and I'm doing what God calls us to do. A verse that means a lot to me is Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
Hi, I'm Amanda Smith. Faithful Christian godparents and grandparents taught me as a child about God and His love for us. I started going to week-long Christian summer camps when I was 8 that talked about Jesus and taught from the Bible. My godparents' daughter, Shannon, taught me more about Jesus and would read my sister and I Bible stories before bed. So at age 10, I was basically driven to Jesus out of fear of Satan. I had gone to a friend's house and we were deciding on a board game to play. She told me about her Ouija board and some horrible stories about people who had demonic experiences and how when they tried to get rid of them and how it was like talking to the devil when you played with it. So when I came home from this friend's house, I felt like my eyes had been opened to a darkness, to darkness in the world that I hadn't previously been aware of. That night I couldn't sleep and I was more afraid than I'd ever been before. It's because I've been taught that Jesus could protect you and had learned about Him previously in my life, protect you especially from Satan, I asked Him to come and save me and protect me. I felt the Spirit come at that moment and the fear left me and I was overwhelmed with a sense of peace. I struggled for a few years after that with no fellowship because besides camp, 1 week per year, and it was difficult as a young Christian to achieve any consistency in my walk with Christ. But at 15, finally, by the grace of God, I've fully committed my entire life to Jesus, and by his grace, I've continued in that faith ever since. I wanted to testify to the fact that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm getting baptized today because I want to be obedient and to declare publicly that I've devoted my whole life to Jesus.
It's so good to be back. I've been gone for a number of weeks, and we really missed being here. At the same time, it was good in the way that God just gave us rest and restoration and all that good stuff. We're going to take an offering right now. This offering is a way for us to participate in the very things that God is doing in this world. It's really quite a great opportunity. And as a community that gathers here from week to week, this is one of the high points, really, when you think about it, that God calls us to be active with him. And so I'm just going to invite the ushers to come forward and collect funds here. And if you're visiting here this morning, don't feel any pressure. And just pass the plate on to the person with the biggest wallet. That's it. It is so good to be here. I should say that over and over again, but it's true. A couple of announcements. One is vintage music is happening tonight. We know that at the Wired Monk on 64th and 168th, there's a gathering that happens many Sundays. And tonight is all about music, vintage music. And so you're going to hear about stuff from Handel to hip-hop. And what is it about music and what is God's calling to us with music? And so tonight at 7 p.m., show up there. That'll be a great evening. Also, there's going to be a drive-in, a legacy drive-in. Notice the new name, Legacy. It's not youth or renovation. There's a new name coming to shape youth ministry, and it's called Legacy, and Dave will talk more about that in the future. But on Friday the 14th, 9:30 to midnight, there's going to be a great movie. It's going to be showed outside, so that should be a real lot of fun. The movie will be appropriate for, you know, youth from grade 7 to grade 12, so it should be a great night. Also, this Wednesday night, there's a prayer time and an opportunity for us to gather in prayer. I know last month, did you walk through the city of Cloverdale, the village of Cloverdale? But anyways, this is a real desire on our part to join together in prayer and to seek what God is doing in us and through us. So often we can shape our own agendas, but this is an opportunity for God to shape our agenda. And so come and gather with those who pray. It is so good to be here, to witness people deciding to follow Jesus Christ. May God be glorified in all of that. Let's just pray, and then we'll jump into the next step here. Dear God, even as the offerings were gathered, may your Spirit have shaped all of those gifts, and may you multiply it to be a blessing in this world. And even as we hear these testimonies, may our heart respond in great joy, and may you be glorified. And so, dear Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and you, the Spirit, who brings new life, may you be honored beautifully on this day. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. I have my crew coming up. Thanks, Brian. I'm sort of out of touch. So let me invite my crew. You know who you are. Let me name them off, and you guys can walk right up. It's Bob Austin, Heather Belcock, Matthew Culligan, Amelia Cooper, Brianna Roth, and Tone Schouten. And Tone, could you help me? And we're going to lift Amelia up onto the stage.
That's it. All right.
There you go. It's working now. By the way, we got a new soundboard back there, a gift from another church. And I just saw it today. I think it's from Willingdon. Well, it's not a gift yet. It's on loan, but pray that it might be a gift. Okay, so just pray into that it might turn into a gift. But so for the next few weeks, I'm sure we'll have to work out the bugs as we get used to a new system. But thanks, Willingdon. But let me start with Bob here. It's so good to see you up here, Bob.
Thanks, Jim. Well, my name is Bob Austin. My story is quite simple because I've been a Christian all my life. and grew up knowing that God was everywhere. But it wasn't until about the age of 13 that when I was going to Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher placed his hand on my chest and told me that by inviting Jesus into my life, he was right here in my heart. So that part I could really grasp, and he's been there ever since. As in Matthew 28:20 says, "And surely I am with you always until the end of the age." So although I was baptized as a child and had an affirmation of my faith at age 13, I realized through Pastor Brian's teachings that the significance of adult baptism. And my good friends Maureen and Paul Nystrom have encouraged me to get baptized as they have been. So today I am getting baptized. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins and was resurrected. And by being baptized, I will have died to sin and brought into a new way of life. So thank you, Jesus, for accepting me.
Okay. My name is Brianna, and I've been a Christian for a long time. I accepted Christ as, I think, a 5 or 6-year-old, so from a very early age. And as I was thinking about what it means to me to get baptized today, I remembered a song that I was listening to this past week, and a key line from the song that really stood out to me. The line was, "Jesus' blood never fails me." I had to stop and think about this. In my life, I've disappointed and failed myself so many times. Other people have also disappointed and failed me. And so many parts of my life have let me down and disappointed me at one point or another. But Jesus' blood has never and will never fail me. When you take away all these things in my life, I realize that the only thing I can cling to is Jesus' blood. That is why I'm so thrilled to be getting baptized today and to identify with Christ's death and resurrection. As he laid down his life for me, I too want to lay down my life for him and to live for him each day. And a verse that really captures this for me is 1 Peter 2:24. "Christ carried our sins in his body to the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness."
Hi, my name's Matthew Culligan. I did not grow up in a Christian home, but I have always felt God's presence around me, as he was with me throughout all my struggles, and I am a Christian today because of that. I really started to follow Christ when I met my wife and started attending PCC. Today I am being baptized because I want to fully commit to the Lord as he has commanded me to.
Very good. I was told to keep it short, so I'll try to do that. Hello, my name is Tone, for those who are familiar with the Dutch language. Today I want to get baptized as an act of obedience. Being Dutch, I stubbornly pushed this event out for different reasons throughout my life. My mindset is one of those, I think I can do things on my own. Yet when I look back at my life, I look forward to my life, but looking back at my life, there's so many points, there's so many blessings in my life which I couldn't have created myself and were truly given by God. And so it was all beyond my control. And today I want to do my part in obeying or trusting God's word, and willingly die to myself and rise again with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And all of that kind of in response to the text we got married on like 12 years ago from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding," which is very, very true for me at this stage in my life, for those of you who know me, so truly living by that. "And always acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight." So I'm thankful for that.
You may not see her down here, but Amelia is right down here, one of our favorite gals, and here.
Hi, my name is Amelia. I am choosing to be baptized today because I want to start a new life with God and get rid of my old life that contained lots of pain and struggle. I want to be an example of God's love towards others because he has poured his love on me. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to putting you guys under at the beach and allowing the Spirit to raise you up. And it is quite a thing.
Okay. I'd like the next group to come forward. And the print is so small, I need you to hold this down here, girls. Linda Baalbeck, Troy Campbell, Marilee Congo, Kyle Lunder, Jonathan Rempel, Linda Tolstra, and Daniel Weeb. Come on up. Let's welcome these guys up as they come. Start with Troy.
Hi, my name is Troy Campbell. I grew up in a Christian home with strong Christian influences throughout my life. I recently realized that although I truly believe that God sent his son Jesus to die for my sins, I have not completely given my life to the Lord. So instead of only allowing God to rule parts of my life, I want to commit through baptism to completely give myself over to God as we are commanded to do. I just wanted to read a few verses from Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
My name is Marilee Congo, and I am being baptized today for a second time. A few weeks ago, when Brian began preaching about baptism, I became cognizant of a growing desire in my heart to identify with Christ in his death and resurrection from a place of personal choice and obedience. I was privileged to be born into a home of an Alliance pastor. From the time I was an infant, my parents took me to church, and at the tender young age of 5, my father prayed with me to invite the Lord Jesus into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I was 14 when my dad approached me asking if I didn't think it was time to be baptized. My father was a wonderful, godly man, and I do not for one moment question the intention of his heart. But I responded that day with a yes out of a desire to please him. To have said no would have implied that something was not quite right, and I was fearful of the probing I felt sure would follow. If my father were alive today, I am confident we would have good conversation, and there would be open and honest disclosure on both our parts. But he is already in heaven, so that conversation can't take place. While I know that my conversion and baptism experiences were very real, it is my heart's desire. Nobody else has cried. What's with this? It is my heart's desire today to proclaim publicly my choice to walk in obedience to God. I choose by an act of my will to die to self, buried with Christ, and to live fully alive to newness of life in Christ by the power of his Spirit at work in me.
Hi, my name is Daniel Weeb. I grew up in a Christian home like so many of us, and I knew about God for pretty much my entire, you know, living memory. And I never really knew him. I never really knew about him and loved him until a few years ago when my parents divorced, and it was a really hard time for my family. But what really amazed me about the whole situation is God fixed it. My family is stronger than ever. We love each other more. It was awesome, and it just proved to me that God has so much power. He has power over even, you know, terrible situations like divorce. And it showed me his multifaceted nature, and I love that about him. So I thought, why would I not want to, you know, get baptized and proclaim my allegiance in such a powerful God? So today, I'm getting baptized, and I'm proclaiming my allegiance in a God that can change even the hearts of men and women.
Hi, my name is Kyle Lunder. I was also baptized as a child. I didn't really think it was fair. It wasn't my choice. Before I met Jesus, I was a really dark, negative, angry person with lots of hate. Just recently, I've had my meeting with God and Jesus and his love for me. I've felt like a new man, happy, smiling, laughing, trusting. It makes me feel again. I'm getting baptized today because Jesus died for my sins. and was resurrected, and that's what I want. I want death to my old self and to be resurrected as a new man. I want a fresh start on life.
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm a Christian because I believe Jesus died for my sins so I can live forever as his friend. My parents provided the foundation for my faith, and my teachers at university in particular helped me grapple with my questions and doubts. I am grateful to them now for helping me find my way to Jesus. I'm getting baptized because I believe Jesus wants me to.
Hi, my name is Linda Ballback, and I'm being baptized today in obedience to God's word. Many years ago, when I was a young girl, God already placed his spirit within me as his seal of ownership, having bought me with the blood of his son, Jesus. And now today, my baptism represents my signature on this sacred contract. And I'm asking all of you here to be my witnesses as I pledge the rest of my life to loving and serving my Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hey, church. My name is John Rempel, and I had something written here, but quite frankly, it kind of seems like it's out of Baptism 101 now. And I kind of feel like I'm being called to say something a little different, so bear with my stumbling if I indeed do stumble. Atypical answer as far as growing up. Christian family, Christian elementary school, Christian high school, Christian camp. You name it, it was there. And I guess I'm being called to say, or I feel like I'm being called to say, that sitting on the fence is a dangerous proposition. You sit on the fence for long enough, and you start losing sight of everything that's really important. And when you kind of come to, you're probably farther in enemy territory than you ever realized you were. And it's a real sense of being alone. And I'm here to say that I reject that. And I want to join the army of the Lord and the ranks of the Lord, and I want to hold that flag high. I'm done with sitting on the fence and pretending that I don't notice what's going on or I don't know that I'm doing wrong. I'm done with that. And so today I'm getting baptized because I want to, because I'm tired of living a lie. I'm just tired. I just want to get baptized and be part of the army of the Lord. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, God.
So just to let all you guys know, this big guy, the last guy that just gave his testimony there, John, the guy that's tired but is now feeling a lot better, he's the one that built this pulpit for us. And he, he didn't want me to say that, but I wanted you to know, he didn't ask me not to say it, but when he gave his heart to the Lord just a few months ago and kind of stepped across the line, this was his act of worship. He wanted to do something tangibly and give it to the church. So almost every week that I get up here and preach, I think of God's grace in your life, Jonathan. So it's a great story. It's not every day that a church's pastor and spouse get baptized. In fact, I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like this. It's really, really wonderful. Jim and Monica come from a Christian Reform background like Tone. They're Dutch, and their parents baptized them, like many of you. You were baptized as infants, and Jim and Monica have come through a really wonderful journey that has led them here to this place. And they've been gone for almost a month, and it's so good to see them. So let's welcome Jim and Monica as they come and share their story. Hi, Monica. Nice to see you back. Bless you. Come on up here.
Good morning again. My name is Jim Huving, and today Monica and I are getting baptized. Isn't this strange? A pastor getting baptized, it deserves a little bit of explanation, I guess.
But I want to start with my testimony. 1964, after popping into the world on August 28th, but 6 weeks later, my parents walked me into Calvin Christian Reformed Church and had me baptized. That was the first public expression of my life being part of a Christian community. And within that context and that community, my parents, as best as they could, prayerfully raised me up. In the tradition that I grew up, one of the key transition points in life was this thing called profession of faith. It usually occurred when you're about 18 years old. It's much like confirmation that often happens in other traditions at an earlier age. But in our tradition, it happened around 18. And it was a very challenge, and the question was posed, do you believe? Do you accept the very faith that your parents have raised you up in? Are you going to make what's ours yours? And so, given the tradition, that question was posed over a number of years in catechetical training, which wasn't always the most exciting thing. Sometimes you were wondering, how fast could I run from this place? But nevertheless, the day came to stand in front of a church and publicly profess my faith in Jesus Christ. I still remember the day. The pastor that I grew under, was his name was Weger DeYoung. I always called him Eager Weger. And I remember the very moment he gave me, after the whole ceremony, he gave me a plaque. It's still in my office. And on it was a rose and the very words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. At that point, I didn't like the plaque very much because I really liked my friends right beside me. It was much more attractive. But this one held tight. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. From then, of course, God led me towards ministry. Out of the baking world of my father into the life of preaching and teaching and leading people to consider the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And then one day, as we were serving in the context of the Christian Reformed Church, we found our way at Pacific Community Church. We were still meeting. Remember Martha Curry? And we just sort of hung out until Michael Green came around for about 6 months. And if you want to blame anybody for me being a pastor here, blame Michael Green. He sort of opened up the doors for us to be able to consider the possibility of serving here. But it was a big day because we were jumping from one tribe with its ways to a new tribe with its own ways. Much the same family of Christian family, but yet differences. Now we're at a point after 8 years of serving at Pacific to be baptized. We haven't just come to faith. But we think it's appropriate for us to be baptized. And once upon a time, it wasn't a big deal, the Pacific. We were always living on the margins of the CMA anyways. And when I went through the process of being credentialed as a pastor, they forgot to ask the question. And I'm not sure if I was avoiding the question or what. But I became I think I might be the only pastor in the Alliance that's not baptized as an adult. And as a result, I think it's appropriate for me to live with what I value very highly, transparency and integrity. And so the more I function within the life of the CMA, as it has become more and more of a family to us, this is a way for us to become deeply entrenched within this family. We are in no way negating the tribe which God used to raise us up. But beyond all that, there's a greater reason. I desire to live the baptized life. To live freely and to live without hesitation in the Christian family that God has called us to live in. and to be a testimony to the radical nature of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, willing to die and to be raised up by him. And so, empowered by the Spirit, we hope to suffer and die to that which is old, and to rise and live with that which is new in Jesus Christ. Troy already read Ephesians 4, but it's the very text that I was looking at this morning. As a prisoner of the Lord, a servant trapped in by his love and his grace and his calling, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is our effort. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. For this reason, I'm getting baptized.
My name is Monica, and I come, as Brian's mentioned, as Jim's mentioned, from the very same tradition as Jim's come from. I come from the Christian Reformed Church, and I, too, was baptized as an infant shortly after I was born, a year later than Jim. And when I was 18, 25 years ago, this past June, I did my profession of faith, and that truly did mean a lot to me, and neither two sacraments or acts can be taken away. But as I started attending Pacific Community Church, which is, like Jim mentioned, a totally different tribe, a different family, a different way of doing things, yet we all believe in the one Lord, Jesus, God started to nudge me early on, even way before Brian preached on baptism. And I would mention these urgings to Jim, and he would just say, "Come on, Monica, you don't have to do this." And I said, "Yes, I do." And he says, "No, you don't." That's our marriage. But as it came closer to the date of August 9th, I really started questioning my history, because I didn't want to deny what my mom and dad brought me through. I didn't want to say no to them, and I'm not. But we are here. God has led us here. It hasn't been easy. But there's been many, many places of his love and grace. And I've watched and I've been mentored by people who don't even realize they've mentored me. So I want to become part of this tribe. I want to live with integrity. And just like it was with me 18 years ago, I'll give you the same reasons why I'm getting baptized today. And this is something that was in a certificate that was given to me. And it means a lot to me. Let me read it. "What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul and life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my heavenly Father." I'm going to stop there. That sentence there, "He's always been over watching over me. And he's been calling me to be obedient. And he knew all the stuff that I've gone through and what we've gone through. And he's still there, no matter what. And he's here with us today.
In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to him. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen.
Thanks, you guys. So let me ask you, have you come to the fork in the road where recognizing that there's two different ways in life to walk? One is the way of the world, the way of self, the way of darkness, the way of Satan, and the other is the way of light, the way of God, the way of Jesus. Have you made a decision with God's help to choose the path of Jesus? You know, after hearing all these testimonies and before we actually see the baptism, it would almost be criminal not to give you an opportunity to take a step towards Jesus down the road less traveled. There really is a problem with the world. There's a huge gap between God and humanity. And humanity has tried to bridge that huge gap through endless means of philosophy and morality and religion and psychology, through capitalism, through Marxism, you name it. And man has fallen short because our problem is sin. And only God could come up with a solution to bridge that huge barrier between us and him. And that solution has always been his son, Jesus. Jesus is the bridge between sinful humanity and a holy God. And as you've heard today, Jesus came into this world and died on a cross and took the sin of the world upon himself and paid for it in full, even though we deserve to die. He rose again the third day. He now sits at the right hand of God, and he has poured out the Holy Spirit into the world. And it's the Holy Spirit who is now here, making the red light of our conscience flash, saying, you need Jesus. Receive Jesus. Embrace Jesus. So one verse, and then we'll come to the Lord's table. Jesus said, behold, or listen, or look out, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and have fellowship with them and them with me. This is the invitation that the Lord Jesus extends to every single one of us who have not responded yet, but are perhaps on the edge. He knocks, and we have the privilege with his grace and through the power of his Holy Spirit to take that door and to open it up and to say, Jesus, I embrace you, I believe you, I receive you, you alone have done it for me, I can't, you can, you did, you are alive, I put my faith in you today, right now. And if the red light of your conscience is saying, do this today, this is my day, then I just encourage you to do it. And I will lead you now in a very simple prayer that we call the sinner's prayer. We call it that because only sinners are allowed to pray it. And if you know that you are a sinner, that you have walked away from God, and that you desperately need him, then why not pray with me right now? Open the door. Receive Christ by faith. And become a Christian. Let me lead you in that prayer. Let's all bow our heads right now. Chances are, if you are at the place where you are ready to receive Christ, you have already been prepared before this service. But this service has been used by God now to bring you to the place of decision. And you can pray very quietly in your heart this little prayer. God doesn't care about the exact words. He sees your heart, and this is simply your response to his grace. Use my words as yours, and pray this. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I am lost without you. Thank you for coming into the world for me. Thank you for dying on the cross and suffering in my place. I believe that you rose from the dead and are alive. And now, by faith, I open the door and say, Jesus, come on in. If you prayed with me that prayer, welcome to the family. I would encourage you sometime this week to communicate that to as many people as you can and to come back next week because you need the family of God. Father, as we now prepare for your table, the table of the Lord Jesus, let this continually be for us a celebration of your grace and love and a fresh start. For all of us, Lord, we confess that this week we have not lived the way we ought to have lived. We have done things we ought not to have done, and we have left undone things we should have done. But you, Lord Jesus, have paid for every one of these sins. We thank you, we repent of our sin, and we pray now that at the table you would nourish us and feed us as we line up as beggars coming to the bread line once again and receiving your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a minute we will come forward for communion. If you are a Christian, we invite you to come and participate at this table. Because we have so many visitors here, let me just explain how we do it in this church. We have three stations, one at the end of this aisle, one here in the middle, and one at the end of this aisle. We come forward from the back to the front, so you will know when it's time for you to come. As you come forward down the right of the aisle, somebody will take a piece of bread and give it to you, and they will say, the body of Christ. And then the person next to them will hold out the cup, and they will say, the blood of Christ. And you take the bread and you just dip a corner of the bread into the cup. And then you eat it in celebration of the Lord's broken body and shed blood for you. If you feel like you might not understand enough or that you're not quite there, it's perfectly normal and right to stay in your seat. You don't have to come forward. If you prayed to receive Christ this morning with me, and maybe this is the first time that you have ever had communion, what a wonderful celebration that would be for you to come and receive this. And if you're wondering about how it works, if you just watch the person in front of you, they will show you how it works. It's really very simple. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. And it's given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And then after dinner, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink this as often as you will in remembrance of me." And so this bread, common bread, is a symbol and a sacrament of Christ's broken body. And this juice is a symbol and a sacrament of his shed blood. Lord, receive our praise now as you feed us at your table. In Jesus' name, amen. Those that are serving that can come forward. Those that are praying, there'll be one couple over here and one couple over here. And if you would like them to pray for you about anything at all, please take full advantage of that.